Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week 80 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
I'm waiting for Lone to intro.
There's me, and I have all Wanderer.
Oh, yeah. Just kidding. He's not here today, but my name is Noah. This time you can send all your hate to Lone for not being
here. Yeah, yeah.
This guy, 2 weeks in a row. Don't mean to brag, but
yeah.
It's just Matt and I, though. It's just Matt. This is going to be interesting.
We were gonna jump for a guest, see if we could get someone on last minute, but I was thinking, Noah, I don't even remember the last time you and I, like, one-on-one
I know.
Talked. That makes me sad. So I was just like,
yeah, sad.
Fucking guest. So Lone's moving into a new apartment. If you guys follow him on Twitter, you already know that. So that's why he's not on this week. But
I feel like it's just a cave. You know what I mean? Yeah, like
he's moving into a new pouch.
The cave in the middle of an Australian desert. His girlfriend's there. Lone, I don't like this.
I'm comfortable, bitch. Because he fucking talks to his girlfriend like that.
He just calls her bitch. Anyways, yeah.
So the links to our mobile are in the description down below, so you can listen on iTunes, Google Play, whatever mobile device you are using, as well as timestamps if you're listening here on the PC. And each week we want one of you to interact with us, so tweet at us with the hashtag HamRadioTime with your answer to the following question.
But don't tweet it alone.
Yeah, don't tweet it alone. Just myself and Noah.
Yep.
Lone's not included this week. Let's make him feel really shitty.
Honestly, Lone, you're such a fuck.
He's gone for 1 week and everyone's forgotten about him.
He's like, who, Lone?
Anyway, the question this week, just because of the news that's been trending, I figured I'd just get your thoughts on what do you feel about an extra DLC for Fallout 4? My personal feeling is I'm not holding my breath. Really don't care if it happens or not at all. But I really want to get the community's feedback on that, see if you guys are like, yeah, let's get another, or if it's like, you know, let's just move on, see what Bethesda's got cooking up next.
Yeah, I think it's going to be probably just like a little, I don't think it's going to be like a huge campaign DLC, it's probably going to be like little add-ons, seasonal stuff maybe. You know,
yeah,
stuff like
so that. We'll talk about that first, because we're already discussing it in the Bethesda News Roundup. There's a development in the secret DLC, because if you guys did not know from last week, we talked about this, and I made a couple videos on it, that basically there was a new listing as an unknown app on the DLC section for Fallout 4 on SteamDB, which is like a database for Steam. And that's only happened before Phase 1 and 2 of Fallout 4's DLC, and I'm sure this has happened with other games before, but in particular, we're talking about Fallout 4. And so, a lot of YouTubers, man, I gotta say, I was really upset, were like, guys, new
jumping
Far
on
Harbor.
It.
Yeah, like, new Fuck. Nuka World. We're getting a big
We get 17 more hours of fucking gameplay.
Yeah, like, this is going to be huge. I'm just sitting there like, hold on. This could be anything. Yeah. Lone looked at Skyrim last week during the show, you remember, and we found out they had the same thing. So it could have been nothing. Yeah. I treaded that ground. I was like, look, it could be this or that, like a VR patch or whatever. But it's, you know, it's most likely nothing. Now, two interesting things came out of this. Number one is that Pete Hines actually tweeted during E3 that Fallout 4 VR was going to be a separate game in the library. So it's not going to be a patch. So that means that a lot of people assuming this unknown application is going to be, oh, it's just a Fallout 4 VR patch. It's not that, because it's going to be listed as a new game in your library. The other development is that Pete Hines said on Twitter recently, in response to this latest news, was we're not doing additional DLC. Nuka World was the last one. We were like, okay, no shit. You know, most of us assume this. And then afterwards, the guy asked, well, what is it then? And Pete said, we haven't said yet. So indicates...
What you playing at, Pete?
Yeah,
what you playing
it indicates
at?
That, like, it's something.
Yeah.
It's just what?
It's definitely not, like, a texture pack or anything like we were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's going to be seasonal. It may be seasonal related to the fall. It may be seasonal related to, like, Halloween, Christmas, something like that. Maybe not. Seasonal stuff with games tends to be a little iffy because it is seasonal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I'm curious, though.
I like that idea, though. I never considered that until you said it, that it could be something seasonal. I think that would be fun. I think that's a unique way to get people into the game because it's a mixture of a spirit that's constantly surrounding you, especially this time of year where you have Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. It's inescapable.
Right. And so, well, and real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Grand Theft Auto Online does that. Like, on Christmas Day, I think Christmas Eve too, they make the whole map snowing.
Yeah, see, that's
in the game, and it's awesome. You know what I mean? It's so much fun to see. But, like, it's, like, little stuff like that that makes you think, like, oh, that's cool, you know?
And I think that would work out to some degree if it's a Halloween-themed update. And mind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're just, you know, spitballing right now. But because in Sanctuary, I do remember there's a lot of little Halloween decorations because the Great War happened right before Halloween. So it might work in a way for Fallout 4 because they already have some of those assets made. Things could be interesting with that. But we're just kind of guessing at that one. What's unique, though, is that we've eliminated the VR option, which a lot of people were guessing for. So this could be a number of things.
Right.
Like I said, my best guess personally was the new assets for modders to create stuff for the PS4. But then again, that's like...
if Sony's not playing along with that, though.
Yeah.
We'll see, you know.
Yeah, it's a very weird type of extra DLC to do.
Right.
So I always wondered if Bethesda would ever try just a secret DLC launch. They don't say anything, just new DLCs added. And, you know, it markets itself. I think of Overwatch in a way. I mentioned this in my video as well, where before they announced the seasonal update for Halloween, all the leaks, all the discussion, the fan base did all the marketing for this thing. And then they released the video day of. And they're like, hey. Yeah. Halloween patch.
Well, and Blizzard's community is like a brick wall, meaning like it's solid. There's a lot of, you know, build up in that
community, man.
You have World of Warcraft, you have Hearthfire, or I think I'm saying that right. I might be wrong. Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone. I make that mistake all the time.
But, you know, and then you have Overwatch. So it's like that whole community is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I still have yet to check that out too. The Halloween update.
I mean, the coolest thing about it, I think, is not just the skins, but they redid Hollywood, so it's all Halloween themed now.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So
Hollywood's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Instead of it being bright out, it's dark. They changed all like the movie things to horror movies. The menus are different. They reskinned the entire map. It's really cool. So I hope they do more of that in the future. And I've already been like speculating on what they're going to do for obviously Christmas next, maybe Thanksgiving, who knows.
Hopefully they just keep going with it. You know, Christmas would be an awesome one to do. You can have, I'm picturing like a, you know, Santa Claus, Bastion or something like that, or Santa Claus. What's the big one with the shield? I always forget his fucking name.
Reinhardt?
Reinhardt. Yeah. A Santa Reinhardt.
Yeah. That'd be perfect, especially because he's got white hair and a beard and stuff. A lot of good ideas. I could see if they did Thanksgiving, like a Pilgrim Mercy or something like that.
That's a good one.
That would be really cool. So what we're getting at here, though, is that seasonal updates are exciting. It's a weird mixture that can get you back into the game. So maybe Fallout 4 is taking that ground. Someone also said that, I read it on Twitter. I didn't get a chance to look at the link he sent me. Mm-hmm. So like with all we've been talking about, this is just speculation. Is that I think they said it could be like a dev branch or something like that, meaning that it's just for the developers. Like maybe they're testing something. I don't know.
Maybe.
But, you know, like we've all said before, the only times these new apps have popped up is when they're testing something new. So I don't know if they have like a new mechanic maybe for a game they're already working on and they're mixing it with Fallout 4 as a secret DLC, but not releasing to the public. They're just like, okay, let's put this in Fallout 4, similar engine. See how this works instead of, you know, I know jack shit about game dev, to tell you the truth, aside from like, actually, no, that's a lie. I know a decent amount about game dev, but I'm saying, I don't know those types of techniques, those types of developments that they do. So everyone's guess is as good as mine or yours.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the next topic. Let's talk about Prey. Yeah. Brand new Prey trailer came out. Somewhat similar to the original Prey gameplay trailer. This one seemed to have a little bit more gameplay, though. and it was highlighting a female protagonist. Now, if you guys didn't know, they have a male and a female because they chose the name Morgan Yu, I think was the name. And they said that was like a name that would work for both genders. And I know Lone made a video on it saying he likes the way this game's approaching gender and stuff. And I like it too. I think it's a cool idea. The trailer looks sick though. You know,
it does. It looks cool. I'm gonna jump right into some of the details of it. Mm-hmm. The fact that they had the little shadow thingies, I don't know what to call them.
No, I don't know what they are either.
Transforming into like objects. I don't know if you caught that, like one made into a chair and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining walking into a room, seeing nothing at first, and then being like, something in here is gonna fuck with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just having that on edge thing. You know, it's kinda like a Dead Space vibe.
Yeah.
When you play Dead Space and it was like you didn't know what was gonna come out of what, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
so that makes me excited.
That works in a great way because sometimes you walk in a room, think something's going to change into something, and you'll get through the whole room, nothing will happen, and you'll feel this false sense of security. Like,
exactly.
Oh, I got through the room, nothing jumped at me. It's like the next room, oh fuck. So, yeah, I really like that. The game looks a lot different than I expected. You know, when I don't know how to describe what I was expecting initially. I guess I just think of the original Prey 2 that we saw many years ago. Where it was this free-running, fast-paced, open-world game, and then you see this heavy, like loading the pistol all, you know, dramatically and stuff.
Right.
Where I felt the game looked very different.
It looked
heavy.
I don't know why, but it had a Dishonored vibe to it.
It's by the same, but it's from the same.
A little more. Studio. I don't know how to explain it. I looked at it and I was like, I could see this playing Dishonored
the
with
same
like.
Engine.
I think it's the same engine, because that was what I was getting.
Because it's not, like, the same team. Like, it's from Arkane Studios, but it's not from the one in France who makes Dishonored. It's from the people in, I think it's Austin, Texas.
Right.
So, they're two different teams, two different visions, but maybe they're using the same engine. I know they're following a same gameplay format where you, your picture froze. You look like you just saw a fucking ghost. I think they're using a similar engine, but I know that Dishonored is or rather Prey is following a similar gameplay structure as Dishonored, where they said like you're going to be able to go back to certain areas. It's going to be more of an open level, open hubs, rather than a open world or just these linear one place to the next to the next to the next.
Right.
I think of Doom in a way. It's one stage to the next stage, but apparently you can go back to certain places. So, and use those gadgets you find on other places. So it's kind of like that Metroidvania, which I love and hate. Because I feel like it's a poor excuse to allow you to retread old ground. And
I
think it's monotonous. I usually can't stand it. There are very few games I make an exception to and go, all right, like, I like this Metroidvania style gameplay. But this, I don't know.
No, I feel you. I think it's going to be, like you had said and I had said before, a little in terms of, you know, I don't mind Metroidvania as long as it's well done, which is kind of redundant to say. I think it's going to be a solid game, though. I think it's going to have some good detail. Again, that kind of fear aspect of I think that's what's going to keep you going, is not knowing what to expect. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of what's going to push you through the levels.
Yeah, it's the key is to hopefully that, I guess this works with any game, is that the mechanics can't overstay their welcome. So you look at like a, you know, you'll have that good first couple hours where you'll walk into a room, oh, that chair could be something.
Right.
How do you develop that afterwards so that in the, you know, 5 to 10 hour range, it's not just looking for that surprise chair. It's a little bit more, and you don't start to learn the patterns and predicting
what
can happen. So,
well, if it changes into the exact asset, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No. But that could be looked at as, like, unfair. Hmm. So, we'll see what happens.
I'm afraid that they're going to call it, like, a cheap scare. I fucking hate that, you know?
Yeah.
I understand, like, cheap scares are, like, boom, pop out the window, hi! Like, and it scares the fuck out of you. I hate that. But, like, if it builds tension and it's an object that transforms based off the game's...
Yeah. Concept.
Concept. I was going to say something else. But, yeah, that's perfect. You know, I think that is a strength that should be embraced.
And if you're feeling uneasy, the game's doing what it's going out to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I never liked that review perspective, though, of, oh, this is a predictable story or this is a predictable scare. Because to me, I view it as a – I think, for an example, I remember there was a podcast. It was me, I think either you or Lone. I think it was you.
Uh-huh.
Young, yeah, and Robbie from Open World Games.
I think I remember that, yeah.
And we were speculating about Fallout 4's story, and we called the plot twist with, you know, Father being the leader of the Institute to a
T.
Completely called it. Yep. It still surprised me, though, that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to, you know, like...
Yeah.
It wasn't a predictable story. We just talked about it a lot.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Where, you know, some people will say, well, that was so predictable. I saw it coming. It's like,
not really.
That doesn't make it, does that make it rather a bad story? Does that make it a horribly written story? I wouldn't say so.
It's like if you're well versed in video game, you know, in stories in general, video game stories, it's like you can probably predict the end of like any story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, but that doesn't mean it can't be enjoyable. Yeah, that's true. Bioshock has its own fucking thing. The Infinite, okay.
Yeah,
nope.
It's like, right, you know. I don't know how you even fucking started this idea.
There was some guy out there who was like, yeah, called it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, someone. Dude, I saw it fucking coming, bro.
Dude, yeah. And it's like, nope. No,
fucking lighthouse, yeah, dude. Easy fucking call.
Dude, every fucking rift, I got it. I got it.
Yeah, it's so, I wonder how Prey's going to turn out. I'm sure looking at E3 next year, that's going to be one of the big games we'll see, and that'll probably be one of Bethesda's fall titles. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I'm looking forward to E3. I was just talking to Connor about that a couple of days. I'm already looking forward to it again. That was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, but maybe we'll have to go out like 2 days earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, and get like a week out there.
Yeah,
you know, and
a week in fucking horrible ass LA.
Yep. Let's go back to that creepy alleyway for you know, Ubisoft. What's up?
Yeah. What's up, guys? Oh my god! Yeah, quick story, ladies and gentlemen. I made a video about For Honor, and I showed some of the pictures we took there in that event. But I made it sound like it was all hunky-dory. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, this event was, and I'm not trying to sound ungrateful, but this was in the most scary place.
Yes, it was literally an alleyway in LA with like a hobo 40 feet that way.
Yeah.
Like it was.
And like there was spray paint everywhere. You'd see lots of like tent set up, and we're like, okay, this is obviously like a poor area. That's all right. But, you know, it was very sketchy. Very sketchy, you know, especially when you got to call a cab in there at like 9 at night. Also, there was
a fucking stole our cab. But...
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I remember you running down the street for that.
We called a cab, and the cab came down, and then just people just went in it and went. It was like, no.
Yeah.
That was our cab.
I remember that too, because we were like 2 minutes late. Like we were watching a South Park Stick of Truth demo. We were just waiting for it to end. Because we were enjoying it, but we were like, fuck, we gotta catch this cab.
I was telling you, and I was like, we gotta go.
Yeah, like, I was like, but we can't just, like, walk out of here. Like, we're here at a demo. So we, like, when it ended, we're like, all right, thank you, shook hands. Like, out we went, and right when we went out, you drove away, and Noah was like, wait.
And then we had to call another one. But it was that event itself was really cool. You know, you went in, and you had to, like, they asked you, like, who are you? And it was like, Mr. Maddie plays? And you're like, okay. Who's with you? And I was like,
yeah.
Me and Connor, like,
it's so weird addressing, addressing myself like that. Yeah. Especially when I went to play Dishonored 2, I walked in and they're like, oh, they're like, who are you with? I'm like, oh, I'm Matt. I think like they have a list of names, like, who? I'm like, oh, Mr. Maddie Plays. And like some guy like whispers, like, Matt or Mr. Maddie Plays. I'm like, who? What? Like, just call me Matt.
Like, Mr. Maddie Plays, that's what I'd like to be referred as.
Like I'll jokingly, like, pompously say to my friends, I'm like, do you fucking know who I am? But that's the extent of it.
That was fun. And then after that, we went and got the dinner, and that was awesome.
Mm.
But that whole, I had so much fun. I still talk about LA.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be talking to Eliana, I'll be like, oh yeah, remember in LA? And she'll be like, I don't know.
Fucking, that Rite Aid across the street from our hotel, though.
That fucking Rite Aid. Oh my god. I had to go over there because I needed aspirin. And then who was it that tried to buy alcohol? Was it Cam tried to buy alcohol, but they didn't. They only took passports, not Australian IDs. So he was so butthurt. He's like, this is dumb. I'm like, well.
I just picture him walking in the hotel room with that like slight smile on. He's like, they didn't fucking let me buy my alcohol. Like,
he was so upset. He was a trooper, though. He stayed in like a rinky-dink hotel.
Yeah, he stayed. Props to Campbell, because he stayed in like our hotel room till like 3 in the morning, would get back to his, and stay in like what was essentially a dorm room.
Yeah, and it was, they had like one shower, like, yeah. in the entire place. You know what I mean? It was like you said, it was a dorm room, and you walked back at, like, 3 a.m. I'm like, dude, don't do that.
Yeah, like especially in the middle of the night in L.A. Like, he walked back.
A laptop on him.
We're like, dude, call a cab. No, I'm going to walk back. I'm like, dude, aren't you, like, afraid?
Like, I'll pay for your cab. Like, get a cab, you know?
Great week, though.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to our last bit of news, though. Skyrim, the special edition, has gone gold, meaning development for the game is complete. So the exciting yet interesting bit of news, I'd say, is that they actually announced that this is the first international studio launch because Bethesda Game Studios Montreal is the team, actually, who worked on this. So what's...
International Canada. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. But what this means is that whatever the Maryland studio is working on was uninterrupted by this project. That also means that perhaps that is shown what this Montreal studio really is. You know, they are going to be handed off the, how do you put it nicely, the shit projects, like the ones that, like, hey, we can't be ours to do this. Let's you fucking do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's how I view it as.
Yeah,
but. They also made Fallout Shelter, which made Bethesda a lot of money. So they clearly make big games, just not Bethesda Game Studios, Fallout 4, Skyrim, big games.
Yeah.
They could be working on something as well, though, on the side. But for me, I thought it was really cool that they actually announced that because it's a silver lining in a way. We know whatever Bethesda Maryland's working on is not been interrupted, which means they're getting more progress because... I remember Todd saying they want to get more stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember when we met him? He was like, I got to make more games, man. I got to, like, keep everyone's channels alive on
YouTube. And we're all sitting there like, oh, yeah.
I was like, Todd, if you insist. Like,
it's up to you, man. It's up to you. It's
just
your,
my
you
fucking
know?
Career right now, you know?
You run this. And then be like, make a Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I wish I forgot to ask him. I was like, there was only like two things I said to him. And I was like, I'm sorry, I curse a lot. And he's like, yeah, you have a mouth. And I was like, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna talk anymore. And like, and then who was it we met who talked to us about the industry and everything, and we like went on and talked like we worked like in the production industry itself.
Lauren,
what was this?
Lauren Lanning.
I think he was the guy who gave us these.
Yeah, Oddworld.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Lauren Lanning.
Yeah,
loved him. That was the best. Honestly, awesome. I know a lot of people like, and I meeting Todd Howard was fucking amazing, but that was the best talk at E3.
Lauren was cool because he talked to us like we. Had his experience, you know what I mean? And he was telling us all this stuff.
Not that
about
like
the industry.
Todd by any means did not talk down.
No, absolutely. Todd was fantastic. Everyone we met was fantastically nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They treated us with respect, we treated them with respect.
More so that with Todd we had 5-10 minutes to talk. With Lauren we talked for almost
Lauren
like,
wanted
over
to
an
keep
hour.
Talking. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Lauren would have brought us out to drinks, like I feel like.
Yeah,
you know.
It was really cool too, because you're sharing stories on how he like fucking threw up. What was it called? Those like
he built like a fire or something.
Yeah, and like he said, I took my fucking 12-gauge. Boom.
Yeah, Lauren was cool.
Yeah.
But like I said, everyone we met was awesome.
He made one of my favorite games ever. So that was fucking sick to meet him.
Yeah, I didn't really know who he was that much, but it was like, he didn't care. He was like, "What's up?" You know.
Yeah.
But
Skyrim Special Edition, though, no, right?
Skyrim Special Edition, right? That's what we're
talking
about.
About that.
That's what we're talking about.
If you want to do me a solid, they listed the PC specs. I forgot to write those down. Do you want to fucking just...
I'm on it.
Give me one Skyrim second. Special Edition PC specs.
Yeah, dude, is that what
I was going to say, because you don't know how to Google things, right?
Special Edition PC specs. My Black Widow Ultimate Keyboard is a little loud.
You got a Black Widow, bro?
I do.
Widowmaker, yeah.
You're such a fucking nerd. Okay. Oh, I have to enter my date of birth.
I hate that. Why do sites do this? I'm gonna lie if I'm like below the age. I'm gonna fucking lie.
What? It's on. Is it on Steam? Okay, let me.
Yeah, it would be on Steam. Better BethesdaNet. Anytime you start using your internet, you just freeze up. It's funny to watch.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not going to use Steam because Steam just slows everything down. Keep talking.
Don't worry, you guys. Yeah, we're going to get those specs soon. This is a train wreck right now. It's all good. Trainwreck podcast are the best podcast where we just fucking.
All right. Other Sims developer. So the. I'd say minimum requirements is an i5-750, the Phenom 2X4-9. That's an AMD. Why are they showing me? All right, they're showing AMD CPUs for some reason. Oh, I see.
GeForce GTX 70. Or AMD, I think.
Shut up. Radeon HD 7870. Jesus. 8 gigabytes of RAM, Windows 7 64, DirectX 11. And 12 gigabytes of hard drive space. That's a minimum. Recommended is i5-2400. FX... What?
Nah, nothing.
FX-8320 in AMD CPU. The GeForce GTX 780 or the Radeon R9-290. 8 gigabytes, Windows 7, DX11, and 12 gigs. So... It's not crazy to run this game.
Yeah, I found that impressive, but it makes you wonder how much of an upscaling is there.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. If you have like a pretty minimum PC and you buy this game and you play it on minimum, it's just going to be like Skyrim normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's going to happen. Maybe not. I'm sure they've done stuff with different like colorings and the models themselves. Mm-hmm. Probably upscaled. So
sounds well optimized then, if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, Skyrim itself originally was pretty well optimized. It didn't chug on my PC, at least. Same.
I mean, you know, people will say, Bethesda.
Bethesda. Games have bugs in them. That's shit. Bullshit.
I don't know, man. I always found bugs funny. But, like, with... I'm waiting breaking for...
fuck off.
Yeah, absolutely. And people have had that with Bethesda games. Knock on wood, I've never, like, had any fucking... Yeah, where's wood here?
Just hit yourself in the balls. Hey-o. Hey-o.
But I've never had, like, I've said this before. I've never had these fucking crazy tech issues. The only issue I've had with a Bethesda game is Fallout 3 not working on my PC. But that's because I have Windows 10.
Well, you've had New Vegas crash on you a few times, but usually only while you stream, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. That too. Yeah. But, I mean, that's Obsidian, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember being a little kid playing. I remember being a little kid playing like PS2, and I think it was Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I was only like a quarter of the way through the game, but a game breaking bug happened where it deleted my save, and that's like the worst feeling in the world when you look and you just don't see your save file there, and you're like, it's like someone just broke up with you, like part of you's like.
Yeah, it's like I said, you were there when I found out my Hitman Absolution data was deleted. I was like right at the end. We've been playing this game for days.
You didn't even touch it after that. You're like, nope.
I just like open it up. I'm like, no, where's my, I don't have a fucking save file, dude. What the fuck, man?
You were so mad. You had a right to be, too. I would have been fucking pissed.
I was just like, oh, man. Because I wanted to go back, but the fun of it was discovering the level and finding out what to do each time, and I knew I was going to have that same excitement to go through the game again.
The thing about Absolution, too, is it's not the same as, like, Blood Money and the most recent Hitman. It's too action-y, whereas Hitman and Blood Money and the most recent one, 2016 one, you explore the levels and you kind of become, you know, you work your way into the level. You know what I mean? It's not just like Hitman.
Do you like the most recent one?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of fun with it. I truly do enjoy it. I think they nailed it, personally. I think it relates back a lot to Blood Money, and Blood Money was one of the best ones. So
I never played Blood Money, to be honest with you.
A lot of Blood Money. I used to watch my brother play it, and then
I remember you telling me that. Yeah, I never played Blood Money, though. I've only played...
You've only played Absolution. No, you played the most recent one. You played 2016.
I have, but I'm saying, like, yeah, it's 2016 one. But Absolution, yeah, I've only played two Hitman games. I played Hitman Go on my Vita. That was fun. That was okay. It wasn't really like a Hitman game. It was like a tactical board game. Same shit. Whatever. Moving on to segment three, though. This is where the discussions will ramp up. What we're playing in our favorite news bit. Let's talk about Mafia 3. That's what I'm playing. I know you really want to talk about it. So
I haven't played it. But I've read a lot of the reviews and I've seen a lot of gameplay, and I know you have to play the game. Look, I've played enough open world games to kind of get the feel of what I'm looking at here. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of people are going to be mad at what I just said, but like,
you get the idea. No one's really like crazy defending this game. Really?
I've seen on Twitter. I'm not going to name any names, but let's just say a tweet I recently put out wasn't well liked. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. But it's just, you know, I've read that it's and I'm gonna tell you what I've read, and I want you to tell me what you think about it. What I've read is it's awesome. It's fantastic in the beginning. The story loops you right in. You know what I mean? And then as the game kind of tinkles on, you realize that there's a really big kind of lack of customization. There's repetitive gameplay. It just kind of becomes really cookie cutter.
I will agree with the customization. They removed... It was weird. Some of the things from Mafia 2 are weirdly omitted from Mafia 3.
Right.
The cops suck. Let's start off with that.
In what way?
In Mafia 2, if you were speeding by a cop, he will try to pull you down and arrest you.
Right.
In Mafia 2, I have gotten into accidents in front of cops. I have crashed into buildings, destroyed poles, destroyed fences... In front of cops, they have not tried to come and stop me.
So they do that all in Mafia 3, they'll do that?
In Mafia 3, they do not do that as consistently. Sorry. It's only happened to me once in like the upwards of 30 hours I played, where in Mafia 2, when you were driving, you'd have to stop at a red light. If you ran that red light, there's a chance he might flag you down. That was a little inconsistent. But you had to follow the rules of the road when there was a cop nearby, and it made it... It had its own unique personality because of that, and I really appreciated that about Mafia 2. It was such a little thing because, yeah, you know, some people – I feel it fed off the joke of you look at GTA, you must be really bored if you're driving by the rules of the road.
Right.
Usually you're flying through lanes and stuff. In this Mafia 2, you know, it was cool because you had to follow the rules of the road a lot of times because there's cops everywhere.
Right.
So I really like that. And Mafia 3 kind of just stripped that away, where the cop AI just sucks.
Huh.
So that's one of my biggest things with it. Number two is they got rid of car customization, which I liked in Mafia 2 as well.
That makes no sense why they did that. See, aren't they bringing it back? I heard they were.
I think this game needed another delay because I know they're bringing in a free patch, which means that it was a mechanic being worked on, and in order to get the game out on time, they cut it, and they said, hey, this will be coming in a free update, so it looks like there's more content, but really it was supposed to be in the base game.
Right.
So that's how I view it. But yeah, that was another really weird omission from the game. I was like, why, if it was in Mafia 2, is it not in 3? Especially something as simple as, you know, it's muscle cars. Like, that's fun stuff to customize.
Well, and it's like, again, it's a mechanic that may have not been fleshed out, but I agree. It's something that should have been worked on from the beginning, because now I feel like when it does come out, it's like tacked on. It's like, you can change the color of your car.
Yeah. Also,
that's about it. You know what I mean?
You know, with a game like GTA 5, it's weird as fuck that you can't wear different clothing.
Yeah,
I don't think Mafia 2 really had that either.
Mafia 2 had different clothing. I played a little bit up with Sonny, and I remember.
Okay. Yeah, at least over the story of Mafia 2, I know your outfits changed multiple times based off the missions you were doing or whatever. They would have you in different outfits.
You could change your outfit consistently, though. Now that I think about it, you had a closet.
Yes. You're right. In Mafia 3, none.
That's stupid. I'm sorry. There's like no excuse for that.
Yeah, that to me was, that was stupid too. So I didn't like that. But the biggest problem with this game is its mission system. It's very flawed. You have a district, and inside each district are two rackets. So what you do is you talk to two informants. They'll tell you about the people running those rackets. You'll do like a kill this, destroy that, or follow this,
cookie cutter that. Stuff. Yeah,
to a degree. They try to vary it up, like, oh, this guy owns the drug business. This guy owns the movement of televisions or some shit like that. Yeah, like, I'm not even kidding. and you'll have to destroy it to pull out the mob boss.
Right.
So he's like, who the fuck's doing this to me? Oh, it's this guy. I'm going to wait around and kill him.
Right.
And then, you know, once you pull him out, you can either have him join your racket or you can just kill him on the spot. And then you distribute these rackets and districts at the end to one of your mob bosses, whether it's Vito, Cassandra, or Burke. Now, I understand why people are like, yo, the gameplay is repetitive. Don't get me wrong. There's like points where I'm kind of like feeling a little, and for the amount of time I put in the game, it's actually shocking that it's so little, but a little burnout where I'm like, okay, I kind of want to do something different.
I feel like if I played the game, because I don't have a lot of time to play it, I would get pretty burnt out pretty quickly with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's why I'm not excusing the game. No. For Mafia 3, it's those missions where you take out the capos, like the main members of the Mafia that are like the highlights. They have amazing mission design, really cool moments.
Right.
That I want to say make it worthwhile, because I don't think a good game is really one that makes you grind to get to that good moment. It should be trying to consistently feed you that.
Right.
But it's also, as I was getting to, the open world reminds me of, out of all games, two things, Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs. The reason I say Watch Dogs is because for all its flaws, I really liked Watch Dogs open world because it was natural in the way it was built, where I would stumble upon an area full of enemies, and the way it was constructed, the way I could take cover behind certain objects, it didn't feel like a game developer was making this place so that I could have stealth gameplay, but rather this stuff was already in place, and a gang came in, and I'm here to take them out. You know what I'm saying? It's a well-designed open world in that sense. So, yeah, you're going in there, you're killing this guy, or you're going in there destroying this guy, but the areas themselves are so well-designed that it's good stealth gameplay. When gunfights go down, it feels like everything's kind of set in place where it's not this structured, constrained level, but rather it's all naturally there. You know,
right.
It's like this place was there before a developer fucking touched it, is what I'm trying to say. It's hard to describe. I'm trying to find
out. No, I understand.
Yeah, so I can appreciate that personally, where for me, I'm not too upset over the type of gameplay, but I can see why others are. The biggest issue I have is when I see a lot of major game critics who have consistently given a pass on Assassin's Creed, for example.
Yes.
I can't say Watch Dogs, but consistently given a pass on Assassin's Creed for much similar gameplay mechanics. Mafia 3 is the same thing. You can go to a thing where you wiretap a junction box. You wiretap it. And when you wiretap it, you get a bunch of collectibles on your map. You can go chase them down, or you can keep going to all the little main story missions and stuff. And Assassin's Creed does the same fucking thing. And this game, and Assassin's Creed is scoring higher than this game by miles.
I have to
it's
agree.
Been recommended far more times than I see Mafia. And I'm like, okay, I get it, because I think Assassin's Creed is a game you can get into. But I also think Mafia 3 is doing the same thing. It absolutely is a game you can get into, because it's, I don't want to draw this exact comparison, but I think of it as, this is a Assassin's Creed game if it was really well written and had a really powerful story.
Right. Well, here, have you beaten the game?
I'm like right at the end.
Okay. I was going to ask.
Mind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're recording this on Friday. I've hopped off like right before the end to play, or to, not to play, to record this. So at the point of this podcast being done, I'll be done with the game.
Okay.
But yeah, so far, for me, I feel there's a lot of payoff in the story, though.
Okay.
Because some people are like, oh, it crumbles down into this basic revenge story.
Well, and that's what I've heard. Now,
real
quick, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
The game has gotten really low scores. I don't, from what I've seen on it, I don't even agree with those scores. I haven't even played the game, but I'm like, this is not like a 3 out of 10.
No.
You know what I mean? And I've seen scores like that. I'm like,
maybe,
come on, guys.
Maybe
if you
put the PC port before the patch.
That's fair.
Yeah, I can see that. Me personally, 2K sent me a PS4 code, so I was playing it on that. So I didn't play it on the PC. I've heard Xbox One is really not that good of a version either, which kind of doesn't surprise me. If a game's not well-optimized, it's not going to run well on an Xbox One, I've noticed. It's usually like the poorest version. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just look at Fallout 4. It runs horribly, at least it did on the Xbox One. Anyway, what I was saying is, what was I getting at when you cut me off?
You were saying
I had like one thing I wanted to tack on.
You're about to beat it. You were saying, or you're close.
Is that a lot of reviewers have discredited the story for it crumbles into a basic revenge plot. Number one is its storytelling style is absurdly unique to the point where seeing people discredit the story, I think, is a fucking insult.
And it's like a documentary, right?
Yeah, it is. And I've never seen a video game told in a story format like that. Maybe it's happened before, but I've never seen that. And I really liked it because it's like,
that's neat.
You're in the current moment. It's flipping ahead to like redocumenting.
You're playing like
happened.
A flashback almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's really cool. And I like that a lot. So some people, like I said, will say it's just a basic revenge plot. It's no spoiler because it's been in every fucking trailer that Lincoln Clay loses everything in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so he says in the beginning of the game, I could go kill this guy, but instead I'm going to take every bit of stuff away from him and watch him crumble before I finish him off. He says in the beginning what he's going to do. And that's what the story does. He takes away, instead of just going straight for the mob boss where he could, yeah, kill him, he wants to make him suffer. So, yeah, you'll go kill so-and-so, and I don't want to say names, but you'll kill all these different important people because that's what he wants to do. He wants to make him suffer. And then you'll see it from the perspective of the mob boss, how shit's going down for him and how he's just crumbling. And it's this, you know, like, I'm not saying it's in a sick way, but it's this weird satisfaction you feel for this as a storytelling mechanic where it's like, yeah, I'm seeing my actions take effect to him and how he was so calm, cool, and collective and had everything in control in the beginning. I'm just ripping it down. It's a piece of shit. So for me, I really like the storytelling. I like the story a lot. But this gets us into our other discussion that I wanted to hear your thoughts on, is that gameplay versus story.
Right. So, Monty, you actually made me think of us. You know who you are, Monty.
Yeah, people know Monty. He's been on the cast.
He's a fucking loser. what's
he's
it called?
He's kidding. Relax, Monty.
What's it called? He was talking to me about it, and he was saying that he prefers a better written story than gameplay. And this got me thinking. I wasn't able to reply, Monty, because I was at work. But this got me thinking. I was like, is one better than the other? Mm. Now, we like to all say, like, oh, you know, we want a little bit of a mix. You know what I mean? We want a good story and better gameplay. Obviously, we all want that. Did you just fall?
No, no, my figure. Okay. Keep working. Okay. You're good.
But, you know, we all want a mix. But if we had to think about a game that we liked that had a better A than a better B, you know, A being gameplay and B being story, you know, like, what did we enjoy it? You know, now, for me, I lean a little more towards gameplay. A perfect example for this for me is, what's it called? Metal Gear Solid, Phantom Pain. That, for me, I have no fucking clue what's going on in the story. But I love the game. You know, I have a lot of hours in the game. And I have a fantastic time with the stealth. I have fun with the upgrade system in it. You know, it's genuinely a fantastic game for me. And I know reviewers loved it too. But that really is, like, only gameplay. Like I said, I don't really know anything about the story.
It's just kind of...
It doesn't matter. Like, yeah,
But there was missing missions. There was big plot holes. It was kind of an issue. So, yeah.
You still had fun with the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think. Or at least I did. You know, so it's like... That's why I'm, like, trying to think, what is the more important part of a video game? Mm-hmm. Gameplay or story? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm
just saying it's a tough question to answer because, like you said, the obvious answer is we want a mix of both. Right. And I think that's a sure shot answer. But when you're talking, like, pick one or the other, it's hard to say because you could say it's harder to come across well-written stories because a lot of times you'll just run into cliches. So when you run into that unique gameplay, you're like, holy shit, you know? Or, I mean, you run into that unique story, you're like, this is, you know, mind-blowing. I think of, I'll fill the void for loan. I think of Bioshock because it's an example. It's like, I didn't know a story could do that to me where I'm like, holy shit. But then you look at gameplay.
Yeah.
And you have these moments where you see something in a gameplay mechanic that you've not seen in another game before. And you think, wow, this is, you know, this
does it well.
Yeah. You know? I think of the best recent example is honestly VR where, I don't know if you've played VR, Noah. But,
I haven't. Okay.
So, like, you know, when I was playing, like, a first-person shooting game and, you know, you got these two wands and you're, like, seeing this picture and, like, you're moving your hands and you're grabbing the clip when you're reloading your gun and you're putting in your gun. That's one of those, like, this is something I've never experienced before.
You know, it's a completely new thing.
So, it's good that both sides reward you in that way. But for me, I've always found myself being more intrigued in the story, but also I have to admit that it's a mood dependent thing. There are some days where I don't give a fuck. I don't feel like being knee deep or ear deep in a story.
Right.
And I just want to play a game for that. Right. I'll go and play like a multiplayer game. I'll go play Overwatch. I'll go play, Battlefield, whatever. I'll play a shooter game where it doesn't require me to engage in a story and think of plot holes and how things are going to go. Rather, I'm just going to kick back and shoot or whatever.
Mm. So, and I agree.
You know, it depends you know, there's also stories before you watch or before you pick up a game, you'll watch a review and it'll say a story is tailored to a certain type of audience. You might be in a certain mood. A really sad example is called, I think it's called That Dragon Cancer or something like that. And it's a game about, like, that was made by these two parents, and it's about their kid who got cancer and passed away. Ooh. Sadly. Yeah, apparently it's, like, crazy emotional, though, and it hits home for a lot of people who have lost someone from cancer. Right. And so, you know, there might be a time where you're, instead of looking for a good gameplay or a good story, you're looking for a relatable story.
And so you might have lost someone
from cancer, and you see this game, and you're like, I want to know if this person's feeling the same way as me, and this game will give you that unique feeling. So I think it's very situational-based, where it's rather not a gameplay versus story, but obviously you want to find a happy medium between the two.
Well, and I think too, this is a very subjective question. It has to do with the type of person you are, too. Like, for me, I loved The Walking Dead, Telltale's Walking Dead, Season 1. Season 2, I saw, it was okay, but Season 1 of Telltale Walking Dead hit me like a bus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That game was emotional, but it was so good. And the gameplay was pretty much just choosing point what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And point and click, yeah. So it's like, that game was purely for the story. Mm-hmm. You know, but then you look at a game like Hitman 2016. Yeah, it has a story. It's a broken up story, you know, but it's like, it has a story, but people are still playing through the first levels, first couple levels, and only those levels, because there's so many different ways to play because of the gameplay. You know what I mean? So I think it's like, it really, again, depends on who you ask, but just because a game doesn't have, you know, if a game can make up for one area in the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really can kind of save a game almost.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as, if I really had to ask myself what I value more, I think number one, it depends on the title. But also, two, it depends on, like, for me, I'd say I probably would value a story more. Because I look at it like I just want to say this for our viewers out there. I look at, like, a Fallout 4. I think it was crucial for Fallout 4 to tell a good story. You know, whether you agree or not is up to you. I know there's a lot of division on that. I liked Fallout 4's story. I wish there was a little more consequence to your choices, but I still liked Fallout 4's story.
Mm.
And I knew going into it that essentially Fallout 4 is just a first-person shooter. That's passable gameplay, though, right? You know, so for me, it was, I will take the passable first-person shooting gameplay that, you know, isn't going to have any unique mechanics aside from VATS.
But there's so much more to it, though. Like, Fallout 4, it's, you have the upgrade system, you know, I say gameplay, I mean literally every single thing you do in the game.
Yeah, true. No, you're right.
You know what I mean? Not story. But, like, you know, again, you could plot me into Fallout 4's universe. Plot me into Fallout 4's universe and not really tell me anything about, like, I lean more on the gameplay side. I think this is pretty obvious to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, you could plot me into Fallout 4's universe and just say, fucking do whatever you want. It's like, okay. But, you know, like,
I think that's how really good games are made, is because you have people like you who are making games who are more on the gameplay side of things. And you got people like me who are writing those stories because they think that's more important, so to say.
Right. And you're not wrong.
You get these games like a GTA 5 or Red Dead, you know, these games that are...
Write both of them, pretty well.
Yeah, you can have this amazing story and this amazing gameplay system. Right. I think for me personally, I'd say, you know, GTA 5.
Shout out to Rockstar.
Yeah. I'd personally say like GTA 5 because you got like the whole heist system. You know, that's a really unique gameplay mechanic.
And the online just adds so much more. And the online, in a way, is its own story. You know, it's still gameplay, but it has, has some story.
Yeah, this story that, you know, builds up and then the end's like really could be.
It works.
Really fucking emotional. You know?
Yeah. And it can make a really wrong decision and fuck up the replayability of that game. But, you know, it's I agree. I think, again, you're not wrong or right, and neither am I. You know, it's like it is very subjective. But I was just kind of curious to hear your take on that. I'd be curious to read the comments, too, and see what other people
I agree.
Like about it,
too. One thing I do want to add on for Mafia 3 that I just remembered is that the reason I say this is a game story that people should experience is if you really, you know, care about the game industry – about it moving forward and stuff. Mafia 3 is a story that I feel needs to be experienced because it toys around with a lot of racism. And I'm not saying that, you know, and I know my viewers already know this, but I'm not saying this in a way like, yeah, go racism. I'm saying that in like, obviously, it's pushing boundaries. It's different. Right. You'll hear some fucked up shit like about how some two white guys, are talking about how like it's fun to rape a black woman, like straight up. You walk in to a place. I didn't see the sign, but you walk into a place. I didn't realize there was a sign on the outside that said no color allowed.
Why?
Like, yeah, like the guy who owns the place will walk around the counter and say like, no, you know what's allowed. And like, you're like, what the fuck? You'll be walking around. If you stand next to a cop, you'll be like, hold on, I think this guy matches the description. And it's this interesting mechanic because you're like, what the fuck did I do? I didn't do anything. What description? Right. And then you realize in that time period that, you know, sadly, black people would get just framed for shit.
Yep.
And so you think to yourself, oh my God, like, you know, as I'm not trying to turn this into a whole racial subject, but as a white guy, I'm like, holy crap, that's how they fucking feel. Like, I'm just getting accused for doing nothing. Like, I, you know, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen to white people, but.
No, but it doesn't happen to white people.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but.
I'm just trying to strike a balance here, but, you know.
No, and I know what you're saying, and I think the viewers do too. You know, it's
a very touchy subject. I'm trying to toe my words like, just right here.
Well, and it's like, I mean, you look at the racism you saw in, and there's a lot more different stuff too, but in like Bioshock Infinite, this always relates back to Bioshock Infinite, somehow, something on this podcast. But, you know, you look at, the, and there was, that was like the first time in a long time you saw that kind of stuff in a game, and it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is like the next level of pushing it a little bit farther.
Yeah, because like,
you know,
in Bioshock it was, you know, it touched on it a little bit.
Right.
Not discrediting it, because it's hard enough too, but. Mafia 3 is like,
it's like,
this is what it was like, you know, it's very outspoken. Like, this is what it's like. You're walking around, someone will just say, you know what, like they will just
N-word.
They'll straight up fucking say it, and you just got to deal with it. Or you could just, what's the great part is it's a video game. So you can just punch the guy out and just keep going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather them make it very much what it was like than kind of pussyfoot around.
They didn't, though, and that's – I respect that a lot because I know – not I know, but rather I'd imagine as a game developer that wasn't easy, you know.
No, not at all, I'm sure, but
– there were probably a lot of decisions that they sat there and were like, we could piss a lot of people off. Yeah, can we do this? Yeah. How can we keep this M-rated and not, like, A-rated? It's impressive what they've done. That's why I say it's a story that should be experienced because there hasn't been a story in video games still like this. We've seen this in movies before.
Right.
You know, we've seen it plenty of times, and they've done a great job of depicting that era as well. But in a video game where you're actually, you know, it's a different entertainment experience where you're there. It's very powerful. So I think that's why a lot of people should play it. If you care about a story and you can get through the arguably repetitive gameplay, depending on the type of gamer you are. You know, because it is a long game, too. It's about 30, 40 hours long.
That's a good length.
And that is a good length, but that's also for people who have time constraints and stuff. You know, you're going to be playing that game for probably a couple, like 3 weeks to a month before you actually roll credits. Will that same constant gameplay be enough to get you through the story?
Yeah.
Or rather, would the story be enough to get you through the constant same gameplay loops? That's up to you. But yeah, I just wanted to say that, too, because I think it's centered around racism, and you know, it's very important that people experience that. I think because I think it has a big message behind it.
Absolutely.
As for my favorite news bit, though,
what are you playing? You're playing Mafia 3?
Yeah, Mafia 3. And as I said, I'm almost done with it. But as for my favorite news bit, there is a current fan petition, and usually I don't give a fuck about petitions. Like, I don't think they accomplish.
They never
shit.
Do anything.
Yeah, but it's just to see the. I think it's like a good way for some companies to maybe gauge support and interest level on something.
Yeah.
But there's been a fan petition that's gotten thousands upon thousands upon thousands of signatures for a Old Republic TV show on Netflix.
And, wow.
Yeah, and that's shocking to me because I know that a lot of people like Knights of the Old Republic. But I don't know. You can never tell how big the fan base is because a lot of people are always talking
you
about
it. You said a TV show?
Yeah, TV show on Netflix.
Oh.
In the Old Republic universe. Not a Knights of the Old Republic game, but
in
the Old Republic universe.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it could too because I think if they did like an animated series.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They made it a little more mature.
Yeah.
I think that would work out well because here's the thing
That'd
is
be
that.
Really cool.
Everyone loves Netflix, you know. Everyone,
it's true.
Everyone loves Netflix. I don't know a single person who's ever said Netflix sucks.
I like Hulu. No, stop.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah, if you own Hulu, you probably also own Netflix. That's how I
feel. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I like Netflix a lot. I don't know many people don't. So to hear just this, Star Wars and Netflix, is probably everyone's going to be like, what? And so you do that, but then tie in the Old Republic. Obviously, I've made it pretty fucking clear to everyone that I love Knights of the Old Republic. So seeing this just this level of interest is really exciting.
Mm.
I don't really expect it to happen. I expect Star Wars to make its way to Netflix. If it's an Old Republic TV show, though, I will make fucking review upon review. Yep. I will be fucking in it. I will be in it, dude. I cannot wait. I want to see how this pans out, though. But yeah, there seems to be a lot of Star Wars fans getting involved in it, which is exciting, though, because I know Disney's been teetering the line on whether or not the Old Republic universe is canon or not.
Mm.
Because they fucked that up so bad. So
yes.
Whatever. But yeah, that's the one I'm playing. That's my favorite news bit. Sorry to monopolize that segment there. But
oh, no, it's fine, dude. It's fine.
It's all you now, nerd.
I have been playing Dirt Rally recently. I picked that up on G2A for half the price it was on Steam.
How much was
and,
it?
And it was like $24 on G2A. It's like $60 on Steam.
Jeez.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about it. But yeah, I picked that up recently. I've been having a lot of fun with it. If you like Rally and you like driving simulators, you'll have fun with this game. It's really hard, really hard, and it does take a little while to get
used to.
What happens is I mostly put it on pretty hard settings because that's what I enjoy having with racing games, but because of some of the courses, they're like on gravel or snow or something like that, you'll just fly off on a corner. You know what I mean? So it was, there you go. And you,
is there a rewind button like in Forza?
No, it's not like a Forza. And there's a reset button. So it resets you on the course, but it takes 15 seconds off your time. And Rally is all about time. So when you do that kind of stuff, like there's another thing too. Like if you can pop your tire. That does happen. Mm-hmm. And you can reset your tire immediately, but it adds an hour or a minute and like 10 seconds onto your time. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I didn't have a choice over that, but if you are driving shitty, you know, it's going to happen. So it's an interesting game. It's a lot of fun. It looks beautiful. It runs fantastically. You know, it's definitely well optimized. I don't think it has keyboard support, so you do need a controller or a wheel to play it. I've been playing on a controller. I have a lot of fun with it. I'd love to try it on wheel, but I don't have a wheel. Mm. So, you know, it's a lot of fun though. And, I would recommend this game to people who are more experienced with driving games. If you play Forza on hard settings, you could probably do this, or harder settings. You can play it. Who are, like Matt, you could pick it up and play it. It'd take a couple minutes to get used to, but you could have fun with it.
Get used to, but
yeah, but it's fun. I have fun with it. In terms of news, I don't have any news. What? Go ahead.
What I'm just saying, what like Forza Horizon's open world, Forza Motorsport's like more of just like straight racing. Like, is Dirt Rally just like racing?
The way Rally works in general is you have a thing of like 10 people or like 15 people. Each one does the track, you know, or the it's a point to point. And you see how fast the times is, then that ranks you. So there's subdivisions. So it does that, and then usually there's like five tracks in a set. Okay. You do all five of the tracks, and then it looks at who was the best by like averaging the times and stuff like that. Hmm. So, or adding all the times together, whoever had the fastest comes first. You know, whoever is worst comes out. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
It is a credit system, and all the cars are rally cars in the game. It takes a little while. I mean, for rally, you want a four-wheel drive car usually. Takes a little while to get there. So you're using rear-wheel drive cars that just, again, do not go where you want them to. You learn, though. You know, you learn how to slow down. You can't just hold acceleration the whole time. You will fucking destroy yourself. Mm. But that's what I like about it. You kind of have to learn how to take your time. Like I said, it's definitely a hard game, but it's a rewarding game. Okay. You know, I have a lot of fun with it. So that's about it.
Interesting.
But
news?
No news.
No news.
No news.
No news.
Sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry. I don't have anything.
All right. Well, since it's just Noah and I, we decided let's answer double the questions from you guys this week. So we're going to try to do that. Hopefully, we haven't reviewed the questions yet, so hopefully there's 8 quality questions.
I found a few real quick. I did find a few because I was looking before.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to my favorites right now. All right. So one of them, this is from Not So Spoopy, which is Not So Ordinary Gamer. I don't know if he watches the podcast or not, but he asks, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Why is that even a conversation?
Is it?
Didn't we talk about this before?
I don't think so.
I mean, like, I'd probably...
Is it a sandwich?
I'd probably say yeah, because it's bread and fucking meat, like...
I don't think it's a sandwich.
I wouldn't call it a sandwich anyway, even if
it's not, it's
even
not
if it was one. I'd call anyone who said it was a sandwich kind
of
like.
But like, could you like, if you could you put dog. It under like a category of sandwiches? Like, if you were listing sandwiches, would you put a hot dog there? Because I don't think you would.
A sandwich is bread on the top and the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. I think because it's a one piece of bread cradling it, I don't think it's a sandwich.
Like, you could probably argue it.
Yeah.
That it is a sandwich, but I'd say because it's not top and bottom, it's not a sandwich. Like, you could say a cheeseburger is a sandwich, which I think is.
Right, and I don't think it's a sandwich. I think that's something totally different.
Yeah, I think I think it's its own kind.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm looking for some right now. What do you think the saddest moment in a video game is?
Just in general?
Well, okay. Let's tweak this because there was another question. I'm going to read who read this because I don't want to be mean. That was Newman Jake UB or Jakub Newman. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. But he asked, what is the saddest moment in a video game? I don't want to spoil any games for anybody. So I'm going to ask a question that was asked right after this, which was by Cal Salmond, which is a game that made you cry. So this is a game that we can talk about that without spoilers, you know?
Game that made me cry is Kingdom Hearts 2. Only game to ever do that to.
I had a few games do it to me, but
It was after the prologue, for those who are wondering. I won't spoil it, but yeah, if anyone has finished the first 2 hour segment of Kingdom Hearts 2, it was right after that. I was just like, fuck.
For me, it was the Telltale Walking Dead episode one, the ending. Or season one, the ending. I'm not going to say what it is, but yeah, that killed me. Mm. But.
I just saw a great question.
What is it?
Nah, I can't. I'm not going to say it, though. It's too.
Ask it, but we won't answer it. Can you? Can you do that?
Since you're big celebs, would you grab someone by the pussy?
That's amazing.
This does not represent our political views.
Yeah, this does not resonate. But what's it called? I would not. Obviously, that's horrible. And
here's a question for me. What do you think of the Rangers this year? # hockey matters. Yeah, if you guys want to ask hockey questions, I have you covered. I'll make my fucking hockey segment.
Hockey segment.
The Rangers this year, I'm so conflicted on them because they remind me of the Oilers, who are my other favorite team in the NHL, because they have this great fucking forward lineup. Especially the Rangers, man. Their four lines of forwards are filthy. And then where our defense is trash. And they're old, aside from McDonough, Shea, Holden's decent,
Clint. Matt, we're losing listeners by like this.
I know, but I'm just, let me finish, all right? It's a quick fucking answer. Aside from them, everyone else is old and shitty on the defense. So for me personally, I'm going to have to see by like Thanksgiving, ask me again, and I'll let you know what I'm really thinking. But this year, I believe in the forward lineup. I don't believe in the defense. There's got to be a move made there. Anyway. Next question.
So someone asked, hold on, let me get their name. Leonidas Olympia, top item on your bucket list. Is it really? Top item on your bucket list.
Threesome.
Why was that so fast?
Right when he said it, I was like, what do I really like just want one day? Threesome.
For me, it's
threesome,
I want to drive. I want to drive a really reasonably fast car, not like a supercar, but like just a reasonably fast car around a track to try and get the fastest time. And I've said this before. This is honestly something I've always wanted to do.
All right, I'll pick a normal one.
Want to get roadhead.
Okay, let's be honest though. First of all, because I'm not trying to make myself out to be a douche, but most fucking guys are like, yo, like. Come on,
it's fair enough.
That's on
fair
the enough. That's on the list somewhere. Not maybe not number one for me, really. But I said that for
community. It's on the list somewhere. Fair enough.
It's on the list for me, really. Though it'd probably be like really getting my own type of business off the ground, where like I am self-sustained entirely. Just because, if I'm totally honest, I've never worked for anyone in like a
you never had a job.
I've
had a boss.
I've done like landscaping and stuff where I've like. Helped other people out, but I've never had like a boss per se. And to tell you, if I'm honest, it sounds fucking scummy. It sounds like I'm fucking childish, but I don't know how well it would work now because I haven't had a boss before where like some guy was like, fucking go do this and treat me like
shit. Well, they're never like that.
Yeah, but I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I'd be so confused. I'd be so lost. Like, why did he just talk to me like shit? Why is he fucking a dick?
I have four bosses, Matt. Every one of them are the coolest people. Like, I talk about video games with them all the time. Mm-hmm. The other one, I talk about politics all the time. And the other two, I just try and make laugh. I just joke around with them. Like, honestly, I've been, like, reprimanded a few times. Now, when I worked at my other job, Vans, that boss was fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. That was the meanest boss I've ever had. But most of my bosses have been fairly nice, you know, and not... They've never, like, do this, you know. They'll just, you know.
Hmm.
Do you have a question? Do you have any?
No, I'm like, we have a lot of good questions to go through, to tell you the truth.
Coke or Pepsi? I don't drink either.
Are you just asking me?
Yeah, Jake asked that.
Pepsi.
Yeah, I like Coke, but
Coke leaves a very filmy, dry taste. Diet
Coke
mouth.
Does.
Just in general, Coke does. It just sucks everything out of my tongue. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Probably took a fucking picture of me.
No, not you.
Everything's about me. Here's a very interesting, and I like this question a lot because I'd like to talk about it. I think he's a little dramatic about it, though. Dr. Mr. Pepper asks, are you worried about the downwards spiral your channels are undergoing because the one thing that made you famous is out and old?
Whoa. I can't talk about this because I don't know.
Sugarcoat it. Well, number one, to say downward spiral, I think is a complete...
That's not at all it. Yeah, I mean...
You know, I say this all the time to viewers who make this assumption. I'm not mad at him because I know Dr. Mr. Pepper has been around for a long while. But a lot of viewers make that assumption that they'll go, like, through a week's worth of videos and they'll be like, yo, your channel's dead. And it's like...
Yeah, see, here's
the thing. I see the analytics every day.
Yeah.
I know where I stand. And if I, like, was dying, I'd be panicking. You know what I'm saying? To say that I'm not where I was last year makes complete sense because there is not that Fallout hype.
And that's how it works, you know?
Like, I'd be a moron if I thought I was going to keep 100,000 views a video on every video I uploaded after Fallout 4 came out, when I had 150,000 subs when it first launched. Like, come on. Like, let's be real here. That
we're not PewDiePie, okay? We're not going to keep consistent, like, 10 million views, you know?
No, he doesn't even either. The thing is that people don't realize is that YouTube viewership is a lot different from television viewership, where if you're pulling in 10% of your audience, you're doing well, which I do. I do over 10%. So... if you're pulling over 10%, 7% is usually the average that you want to be at. But if you're pulling above that and around 10%, you're good.
Yep.
Because that means you're engaging with a good portion of your audience. And a lot of that carried over to my Twitter following because I average about 20 to 30,000 a video generally. Mm-hmm. And I have 24,000 followers on Twitter. So I have a stable viewer base.
Yep.
But to say that he's totally right, though. I'd love to push things forward and get back to a point where –
and that's hard. That's not easy.
It's
hard.
It's hard to make, you know, every video a slam dunk.
Here's one of the things I hate the most.
But also, I also want to address Dr. Mr. Pepper. I don't think I'm famous by any fucking stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
In fact, I get really mad at people who like call me famous. Like when I meet someone for the first time, I'm like, yeah, like let me get your number. Or like here, I'll add you on Xbox or whatever. And he's like, oh my god, a famous guy's adding me. I'm like, I kind of don't want to be your friend now.
Yeah.
I don't
see. Because when you do that, when you say that to, like, when someone says that to you, you get the feeling that they're going to be really annoying.
Not
you know,
even that, like, I get this feeling like they're going to feel like I feel more privileged than them or something. Yeah. It's like, I'm just me.
You're just a guy. You know, it's you know, you're not other YouTubers that scam kids on CSGO, you know, things that you're just a YouTuber, you know. So it's like, and I think that's a good thing, though. I think that's a good thing that you keep a good head about it because let me tell you, I know people who would be in your position who would not have that opinion, you know what I mean, and think they are the fucking god of the internet, you know what I mean? You've been doing YouTube for a long time. If I was still doing it, I would have been too, as obviously, you know, but you've been doing it for a long time. You understand how it works, you know, and pulling in new viewers is not an easy thing to do.
Wow. It's a lot of luck, to tell you guys the truth, because you got to have, really, here's how it goes. I got to make the content, but I got to rely on you guys to share it. If you share it, that makes all the difference. I remember I made a video about Fallout 4 settlement mode, just saying, wait, wasn't it optional? It got shared on Reddit, decent positive reception, and you know the video had like a ton of views on it. But it wasn't because, you know, for me it was just I put my effort into the video like I do with any video, but it was your share, you know. So for me, it's I do the work on my end, but it's the work on your end that makes my channel go the mile. That's another thing. It's someone, I forgot who asked that. I think it was that same guy, Kale or whatever. He's like, why do people hate you on Reddit? I think it was just one thread. You know, here's the thing is that I think people who are on Reddit, when I come up, are the same people who don't like me, but they're usually the same, like, circle of people.
Right,
but,
and that happens.
But here's the thing is that to say that is a silly question in my eyes, because I also I feel like I'd be stupid to think that everyone liked me. I'd hate myself if everyone liked me, because I'm definitely not perfect.
No, and it's – I will say, though, one thing that always has bugged me is when YouTubers, especially big content creators, much bigger than like you or Lone or anyone, go on Twitter and ask, what would you guys like to see? And for some reason, that
I'll pick
has
a game
always
and crowdsource some ideas. Like, I recently did with Overwatch. I was like, because I am not acquainted in that fan base where I'm like, what videos do you watch? A lot of people are like,
it's one thing, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's one thing if you put like a poll up and say, like, would you want to see Overwatch, Fallout, or blah, 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 and like two other games, and see what comes up on Twitter. Like, that's one thing.
But when because you're like, that's, yo, give me an idea.
Right. And they're really up there content creators that are a group who I'm not going to name, but you know who they are. And they go out there and they're like, oh, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? And it's like, look, you have over collectively 10 million subscribers. Collectively. You need to be on the ball with what you're making. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but you know what you're what your audience wants to see based on what has made you famous. And it's something that is very easy to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not hard. It's not like trying to find Fallout rare weapons. You know, it's much easier than that. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of shit that has always bugged me. I don't think I've ever seen PewDiePie go on Twitter and say, what do you guys want to see? He comes up with it. You know, that's his job, is to come up with the ideas.
Is that, I'll say that YouTube, I think people undersell YouTube as a job where they think it's a lot easier than it is. But I will also try my best not to oversell it and be like, yo, this job is fucking hard. It's not hard to sit down in your spare time, whether you're watching TV, like you're just doing something, you're making dinner, and try to just come up with some video ideas. Okay, this game's coming out. What could I do to, for the pre-launch talk? What could I do for when it comes out?
And that's from your perspective, too, because that's the type of YouTuber you are, is you cover games. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about YouTubers.
But if you're a Let's Player, dude, like, oh, God. You gotta I fucking envy that. I'd love to straight up just play a fucking game, upload an episode, get like a million views, and have like every company like, like fucking. Yeah. Goddamn, I wish.
You know, and it's just one of those things where it's like, you are in a position where you need to be creative. You know what I mean? Put a poll out about a specific game or something like that and come up with it. You know, it's like, I don't mean to sound like a dick or something, you know, but
it's usually the crowdsource an idea that's see what the interest is and something that takes the least effort.
Fair enough. Well, and that's what
that's what I've seen. That. Yeah, I'll see.
They want to do the easiest thing.
Yeah, if you put the effort in, usually YouTube will reward you. You usually find your. I've not seen many high effort videos, and I'm sure they are out there. But I'm saying I've not seen efforts on videos which have taken like weeks and weeks to produce that have not panned out well. If you talk to the right people, you put the right effort in, you say the right things. Of course, you'll usually find success.
Right.
Because your product will market itself. Here's a good question from Trohic Mist Zero. Favorite controller?
Ooh, this is a good one. I'd probably have to say the 360 controller and the Xbox One controller. I'm just used to them. Now, one of the controllers that has always sticked in my head, though, was the Dreamcast controller.
It's so weird seeing this. It says, someone tweeted, like, you know, when they like a video, they'll say, like, I liked an at YouTube video from at G27 Sass. I'll have the link, and it says, let's play Skyrim's Dawnguard expansion, part one, Holy Crossbow.
Holy Crossbow. Jesus Christ.
That's so old. Anyway,
that's such an old video.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Let's go back to the Fear 3 Let's Play. What's it called?
Good times.
Yeah. What's it called?
One, part two, puzzle solving. You were talking about the Sega Dreamcast controller.
The Dreamcast controller was a funky controller because it was big. But that one was a funky one. What about you?
I don't know if it's my favorite one, but I am a big, big fan of the Xbox One controller. I've not had a controller that's really just, you grab it and it just fits perfectly.
Well, and it's like, I have big hands, like, so that's why I like Xbox controllers.
Yeah, the 360, when I picked it up again to replay Gears 3, a lot tighter, a lot hands are closer. And then you have the Xbox One, and it's like, wow, they just expanded just right, where it's just big enough, fits your hands perfectly. You know, a lot of people pick the older controllers, like they'll say the NES or the SNES. I'm like, dude, you're holding like a fucking 1 ounce piece of plastic that like you just fucking fiddle around with these flat buttons. Now, in terms of comfort and everything, I'd have to say Xbox One. I would pick the PS4. Not a fan of touchpad and stuff. PS3, it's a little flimsy. PS2, I would actually maybe vie for. I really like the R2 and R1 scheme on that, where their buttons, not triggers. I know with shooters it didn't work out that well, but that's because back then, if you guys didn't know, it was L1, R1 to aim in and shoot, not L2, R2, like it is now.
Well, my thing with the PlayStation controllers is I like them, I can use them, but my hands cramp up because I feel like I'm too close. That's my only thing.
Yeah, but in terms of, when I think of, like, when I want to play a shooter and succeed, when I want to really be in the game in the terms of, like, optimal performance, Xbox controller was always the go-to. I always felt I performed best with that.
Yeah.
We'll pick one last question.
All right.
Let's see here. A lot of good questions this week. Carlos is Mexi.
God damn it.
What is your favorite Easter egg in a video game?
Shit. That's a good one.
Favorite Easter egg in a video game.
I only know this because Many a True Nerd did a video about it, but in Homefront the Revolution, you can go and play Time Crisis 2. Or not Time Crisis, Time... Oh, fuck. What's the name of it? I don't remember.
It's called Time Crisis?
No, Time Crisis is a game, but it's a different... Wow. It's not what it is. But
I remember that. Time Splitters?
Yes, Time Splitters too. Yeah.
I remember Time Splitters. I remember that so well, man. That game was... I don't know if that game...
I never played it.
It was, like, so bad it was good.
Really? It looks kind of cool.
That's how I remembered it, personally. Favorite Easter egg in a video game. I don't know why I picked that one, because I don't really know an answer to that. I mean, I really like the Fallout 3 fuck you door. You think it's like an area, you open it up, and it says fuck you on the wall. That's one of my favorite ones. I'm just looking back, because like, I don't really look for Easter eggs too much.
The Halo skulls were always cool. They weren't really Easter eggs, but they were cool to look for.
Yeah, those are good. I liked the... I guess it's really an Easter egg, because it's just a reference to its own franchise, but I liked how in the DMC Devil May Cry series, when Dante first got into a fight, white hair landed on his fucking head, and he looked so cool, and he's like, get this trash off, or he said something like that, and it was like a fuck you to Devil May Cry fans. So that one I really liked. I think that was a good one. I'm looking around my room for like any references that are games that had good references. Danganronpa had a couple of good Easter egg references.
Right.
I don't know. I can't pick one straight up. I think Lone would probably have a good answer for this.
Lone had a good one, yeah.
I remember in the old Mario games.
In the original, yeah.
There was this one time I was playing with my lads, and... With my best mate, as he would say.
Best mate. Which is just like his dog or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't pick a good answer for that one.
It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, well. That'll wrap up this week's podcast. All right. Yeah, a lot of good discussion here.
Yeah.
Because the news roundup with the secret DLC and Prey and Skyrim on top of the extended Mafia 3 discussion we had. And I think that was probably the best part. And then... all your wonderful questions. So, yeah, be sure to follow us on Twitter and keep submitting those awesome questions. Noah, any final words?
That's it, man.
That's it, man.
Yeah, that's my final words. That's it, man.
That's all for now, folks.
That's all for now, folks. Okay. What's up, guys? Go on here. All right, we're all good? Did I just cut out? Well, fuck you. Fuck off. I was like, God damn it, really?
I hope someone stayed for that. All right, guys.
I didn't see the thing is like I don't see your cam or like your camera froze.
I just
for
like
this,
had
so
my hand
know.
Over here. I was just playing with the camera lens, and I was just like, "Wait, he's like bugging out. I'm just gonna keep staring."
You're such a dick.
All right, guys. We hope you guys enjoyed episode 80 of the AM Radio podcast, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Peace out.